All right, Father, thank you so much. Lord, we turn all of our needs, all of our struggles, our relationships, our finances, our jobs, our needs, everything in our lives, we turn them over to you right now so much that we can forget about it. We're in a safe place, all is well, so that we can hear what you have to say to us today. Speak to us in this time, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're in a series called Tips for Staying Together, and today we're going to talk about living without a veil. Living without a veil. In the scripture, there's a story in Exodus chapter 34 where Moses went up on the mountain and he's there to talk with God. Imagine being able to go up on a mountain where you could sit down and actually talk with God. And they were engraving the new stones with the commandments on them, because if you remember, we talked about this in the last couple of weeks where Moses came down the mountain and he found the people and they were doing some bad things, and Moses got angry and he threw the Ten Commandments or the tablets down, and they broke all over the place. He got so frustrated. So now he finds himself on top of the mountain and he's talking with God, and they're re-engraving these stones. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai, he was carrying the two stone tablets again, and it says he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. So he had spent time with God and his face was glowing. Aaron and all of the Israelites saw Moses and they were like, man, this is weird. We're afraid of him. So they held back and they didn't go near him. They were afraid to get close to him. Well, Moses also had a tent that he would pitch just outside of the camp, and he called it the Tent of Meeting. And when Moses would go into the Tent of Meeting, every time after this experience that he had on the mountain, he would go into the Tent of Meeting, and when he would come out, his face was glowing just like it had the first day, or that day on the mountain when he came down. But what happened after that, his face would start losing its glow after he had not been in the Tent of Meeting for a little while. The people would listen intently to every word that Moses had to say when his face was glowing. Wouldn't you? But whenever Moses' face wasn't glowing, the people ignored him. They wouldn't listen to what he had to say, because he had not been with the Lord, they thought. So Moses started wearing a veil so that they could not tell whether or not his face was glowing. It was a leadership tactic. So he could walk out and they're like, is it glowing? I don't know. He's got that veil on. We can't see. It's kind of like a face mask that we wear. Now here's what this tells us. The people were only interested in hearing the law of God. They weren't interested in knowing God. They were only interested in hearing the law of God. They were not interested in knowing God. It's like when your children only listen to you when you're serious, when you're really serious. The only time they'd listen to Moses was when they knew he was really serious, when his face was glowing. Anybody ever have kids that didn't listen to you unless you were yelling at them? Some of that's your kid's fault, but some of it's yours. We'll talk about that on another. Or maybe it's when an employee only listens to you when they know that their job is on the line, when they know that they have to listen to you, and they want to know exactly what it is that you want them to do so that they can save their job. How frustrating is that to be a boss in that kind of a situation? I'm best friends with my chaplain boss. His name is Dan. Many of you guys have known him. He's preached for us before. And honestly, it's great because he's free to be friends with me. It's difficult for a boss to be a friend with an employee. It's very difficult. He knows that I'm not just trying to make a paycheck. He knows that I'm not just trying to keep my job. He knows that I actually want to know how he wants me to do the job, and that I go into the places that I take care of with this in mind, that I'm trying to make him look good, that I'm trying to make it so good that when he goes and visits that place and gives a report to that place, that he can walk out of there proud of the job that I've done. He knows that that's my goal. And honestly, I'm like a kid that's written a great paper, and I can't wait for the teacher to read it. So I love it when he goes and visits these places, because I can't wait to get the feedback from him of what the boss or the HR person or the owner of the business had to say about the job that we've done there for him. He's free to be my friend because that's the focus that I have in our relationship. In our homes, your wife, she knows if all you're doing is what is absolutely necessary to stay with her. She knows that. If you only listen to her when she's demanding or when she's glowing. Any of our wives ever glow? Frustrated? If the only time you ever listen to your wife is when she's glowing and frustrated, you're in trouble. Your marriage is in trouble. And to our young people, if all you do is the bare minimum that your parents require, and they have to start glowing in order for you to listen to clean your room or to clean the bathtub or to take out the trash or to do your homework, if the only time you're listening is when they're glowing and frustrated with you, that's a problem. Another interesting thing about this story of Moses is that when he went into the tent of meeting to meet with God, before he went into the tent of meeting to meet with God, he had to remove the veil. He had to take it off. God would not allow him to wear it inside. The veil was symbolic of the law. God didn't like having to give us the law. God wanted us to do the right thing because we wanted to do the right thing. God wanted us to love him. God wanted us to get to know him. God wanted us to try to understand who he is and what he likes by our heart. But instead, he had to give us the law in order for us to at least get the base things done in our relationship with him. But for some reason, people, we, us, you, me, we continually want to gravitate back to the law. And the law is the basics of a relationship that must be done before we can begin to enjoy a relationship. For some reason, we keep gravitating back to that. We want the law because we want to just get by. We'd rather know what the bare minimum is to just get by than to rather lavish our love on somebody. I don't know about you, but I want to lavish my love on somebody. But it takes work. It takes a lot of effort. It takes intentionality. So the veil represents also the pretense of our life. Moses was pretending his face was glowing. And the Israelites were also pretending it was glowing when it wasn't. Because they couldn't see it. So they pretended it was glowing and they listened to him as though it were. In other words, following the law can be a pretense. Pretense. Pretending that we love somebody. Pretending that we love God. You can pretend to love God and love people by following the law. But we all know that pretense doesn't last. When it's put to the test, pretense doesn't last. You can set your car on 60 miles per hour, cruise control, on 380. That's the law. Right? You can put your car on 60 miles an hour, and what happens? People go flying past you doing 65. People go flying past you doing 70. But while you're driving 60 miles an hour, how do you feel? I'm obeying the law. I feel good about it. I'm loving these people. Idiot. Moron. I'm loving these people. I'm following the law. There's a brown truck just went by. I bet that was Jerry Eaton. If you've never ridden with my dad, it's like strapping yourself to a fly. I'm loving these people. Look at that moron! You dummy! We can pretend to follow the law and pretend that we love by following the law. You can pretend. Does it work? If love isn't involved, We end up hating the people around us. We end up frustrated with the people around us because they're not loving the way we are loving. They're not following the law where we are following the law. You can pretend to love people by doing something that looks like you're loving people, all the while you're hating people. Haven't you done it? The law gives us the ability to pretend to love. God isn't interested in pretend love. God is interested in real love. God is interested in real love, not just getting the law done. This is where we fail in our relationships all the time. You see, staying together requires love. If there is no love, there is no staying together long term. In order for you to be a part of this church long term, there has to be love by you for this church, for these people, not the building, for these people, that you're able to look around and say, man, I love these people. I have a heart for these people. That you find yourself praying for these people, that you find yourself helping these people when there's an opportunity to help. Staying together requires true love, not pretend love, not anything other than true love where you put your heart into it. You say, well, John, I don't put my heart into anything. Well, then you're missing out on a big part of life, the biggest part of life. True love, where you love even when it hurts, even when you don't understand. You see, love is work. Love takes thought. Jesus said, love is giving somebody what you would want somebody to give to you. Doing for somebody what you would want somebody to do for you. What does that mean? It means it takes you sitting down and saying, okay, what is it that I would like for somebody to do for me in this situation? And you actually thinking it through and finding a way to pull the trigger on that. That takes effort. That takes initiative. Well, can't they just tell me what to do? No, that's cheap. You've got to stop and think and do the work to think it through. What is it that they would want me to do? Remove the veil. Remove the veil. Go beyond the law. Remove the pretension. I actually love this person. I'm not just going to wait for them to tell me what they want. I'm going to find what they want, and I'm going to do it for them. Do you want to transform your marriage today? Here's how. Recover the desire to please your spouse. Recover it. Down deep inside of you, remove the veil. Oh, come on. There was once a day that you would have given anything to make that person smile, to make your husband or your wife smile. There was a day that you would have given anything to make their day, to give them a compliment or to take them to that special place that they enjoy so much. Remove the veil. Stop depending on the law to get you by. The law is the base level of relationships. And if we think that, well, God, I didn't murder anybody. Well, God, I didn't use your name in vain today. Well, God, I went to church today. I honored the Sabbath. If we think that that's what's going to get us by with God, he's saying, whoa, wait a second. I'm asking for more. Do you love me? Remember when Jesus was restoring Peter? What did he ask Jesus? You ready to follow the law? It's not what he asked him. Peter had denied him 3 times while Jesus was in his worst moment in his life. What did he say to Peter? He said, Peter, do you love me? I'm not asking how good you are. I'm asking you, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then feed my sheep. Do what I want you to do. Take my heart and do something with it. Love me by taking care of these people. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. That's the question. Do you love God? But what happens far too often in a relationship is the veil is never pulled off. would just do the bare minimum. All we give each other is what is required. When the other person is really, really serious, that's when we give it to them. We give them that and the bad stuff. All we give is the negative, calling each other out on the laws. The greatest moment in my wedding, if you watch the video, I should have gotten the clip out today, but we were too busy doing some other stuff. But the greatest moment in our wedding, at least for me, was when I lifted Angela's veil. It was awesome. All right. It was more than just being able to see her unveiled face. It was so long. I reached over and it got messed up on one side. You know, there's hundreds of people in the congregation at that time, and I took the time to actually start fixing it. And it took a long everybody started laughing. But for me, that was the best moment in our wedding because it helped me to be able to communicate to her that I was going to delicately be there for her in her life and make things as perfect as I possibly could. I wasn't just going to, give me a kiss, lady. I was going to let her know this is an important thing. I'm going to take care of the details in her life. And under the veil is intimacy. Under the veil, beyond the veil, is freedom. It's life. It's love. Me removing the veil symbolically was telling her that she would not have to wear this veil in my life. That I would still love her. That I would still receive her and take care of her. That I would be able to see when her face is glowing and when her face is not glowing, which is not very often. Her face is always glowing. But I would be there whether her face is glowing or not. She didn't have to wear the veil. I would be there. And I would fight to see her smile. And her allowing me to remove that veil was saying, I trust you to love me, John. That I won't have to spend the rest of my life fighting for you to give me your love. But I can let this veil come off and I can be seen whether I'm glowing or not and heard. You know, that's the goal in my relationship with her. And this is the kind of relationship God is after. God is after real relationship. He's after people that understand that we've got good and we've got bad. And that we need to come to Him and ask Him into our lives and receive the grace that He's given us. And not just try to get the bare minimum done. Not just pretend we have a relationship. Not just show up to church and pretend that we love Jesus. But that we actually do love Jesus. When God had the people in the Old Testament build the tabernacle in the temple, if you remember, there was the Holy of Holies, which is where the Ark of the Covenant was. And separating the Holy of Holies from the holy place was a giant veil. It was a really thick curtain that God had them put there. And the veil wasn't just a barrier between God and us. It was also symbolic of our own pretentious shield. In our story with Moses, while Moses was on the mountain with God, he said this to God. He said, God, you've been telling me, lead these people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. You see, at this point, God was threatening, I'm done with these people. I don't want to go anymore with these people. If I go with these people, I'm just going to kill them. That's how horrible they had been. And Moses is like, God, you've told me that you want me to lead these people, but you've not told me who you're going to send with me. You've said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you're pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Look at what Moses is asking for here. He's actually asking for a deeper relationship with God. Verse 13, Moses was concerned that if God was pleased with him, he says, man, if you're pleased with me, if I found favor with you. And then he says, teach me your ways. He didn't say, teach me your laws. Teach me what the bare minimum is, God, so that I can get that done. He said, teach me your ways. Teach me your ways so that I may know you. that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. I want to please you, God. Teach me why you like what you like. Help me to understand why you like it. Teach me why you don't like what you don't like. Help me to understand that so that I can apply that to other areas of my life for you. And God said this, my presence will go with you. I will go with you, Moses. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to go ahead and go with you. And what did he say? I will give you rest. I'll go with you and I'll give you rest. Why does God like it when we give? It's a good question. If you love him, you'll find out.
I don't like that. I'm going and giving to the church.
Okay. Why does God like it? Why?
Well, people, they just want my money.
Really? Then you don't love him.
Well, I have to give money to the church because I love him?
No. What am I saying? You need to find out why God likes it when you do things. If you love him, you will. Why does God like it when we worship him?
I don't have to go to church. I don't even have to go to church. I just sit at home and I don't have to be a part of that. Jesus is in my heart and everything's fine. You got to understand, I talk to a lot of people. These are the kind of things I hear all the time.
Why does he like it when we worship him? Why does he like it when you take time during a song service or driving down the road to bow your heart to him? To magnify him, to make him bigger than you, make him bigger than your problems. Why does he like it? If you love him, you'll find out why. If you love him, you'll learn that when you come into church and this music cranks up, you'll begin to feel and understand, man, this is the presence of God. This is my opportunity to, with my people, share a moment with God and say, God, you're so awesome, in worship to him. You'll be able to feel, how many of you like to feel good? You'll be able to feel good. Well, John, I can't even feel anymore. Well, your feeler's broken then. You need to start loving to feel. Love is where feelings come from. Start loving God. Learn why we worship. Understand him. What did Moses say? Teach me your ways. Teach me why you like what you like and don't like what you don't like. Why does God like it when we're kind to those who hate us? Find it out. Learn. That's why we have the Bible. Why does God like it when we spend time with his people? All of the things that God likes, understand it. If you don't know how to find that, you start seeking it out, and I will help you find it. Why does God not like it when we sin? Find out. We talk about it here all the time. But you need to find out. If you love him, you'll find out.
Why does God not like it when we say things that are good or bad and good and when we say things that are bad or good? Why does God not like that?
You find out. If you love him, you will. It's the same thing in our relationships with each other. I've seen people go through life and end up this way because they never embraced the responsibility of learning the ways of others. You want to end up alone, you go through life and never learn the ways of others. They refuse to learn the ways of their spouse. They refuse to learn the ways of their church family and respond. They sabotage every relationship by pushing the envelope until finally that person says, I'm sorry, I can't. This is killing me. Begrudgingly just doing everything that is required so that when it all comes down, well, I did everything I needed to do. I told her I loved her when I married her, and that's, she knows it, and I haven't changed my mind on that. I made a paycheck every week. I brought something home for her, and I mowed the lawn, and I cleaned the cars and actually provided cars. I did the bare minimum to just say, all right, we're living, we're having a good relationship. Where's the love? And God says the same thing. Where's the love? There are people who have been in church for 30 years, more, begrudgingly showing up every Sunday. I have to be at church. Forced to be at the prayer meetings, they feel like. Feeling forced to pay their tithe and angry because they've had to do it. And other people seem to be getting away without doing it. And like having a veil on, they pretend to be smiling and pretend that God's glory is beneath the mask. Getting the law done, but having no heart. Anybody know anybody like that? I had an amazing awakening when I went in to fill in for one of my teachers at another church that I was at in Oklahoma City. And it was the senior adults class. It was like teaching the teenage class. It was hilarious. But I had a rude awakening at the thoughts that these people had. They've been in church for 40 and 50 years. I love the older people in our church. They act like teenagers, but it's in a good way. They're not angry. They're not frustrated. They love Jesus. They love each other. They love our youth. They love our kids. It's wonderful. You see, it isn't God that's the problem. God's not in the Holy of Holies, some angry, mean God. It's not Him that's the problem. You see, we think the veil is there to protect us from Him, the man behind the curtain. He's not the problem. The veil was our cover-up. The veil was our pretense. And just like Moses had to remove the veil when it came time to go in and to see God at the tent of meeting, if you want to see God in your life, you got to remove the veil. No more pretending. You see, God is interested in true love, real relationship, with people who care about who He is. Please listen to me. God is interested in people who care about who He truly is. You hear all these people that are angry with Him because He doesn't like this, and He doesn't like this, and He doesn't like that. Well, He's judging us, and He's being mean to us. This is the way I am. Wait a second. When are we going to start loving Him? Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, "Do not think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy it, but to fulfill it." You see, 2,000 years ago at 3 p.m., one afternoon on the day of Passover, the priests were in the temple, and they were presenting their offerings, their annual offerings, to God. At the same time, Jesus was out on a hill hanging on a cross, the true Lamb of God. And at that time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus cried out, "It is finished." And when He did, He dropped His head and died. The earth was dark. An earthquake happened at that very moment in the temple where those men were performing those ceremonies. That thick veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies was ripped from top to bottom. A thick curtain. God reached down and just ripped it apart, and He said, "What? No more pretense. No more just following the law, just getting things barely done. I'm telling you, if you want to spend eternity with Me in heaven, you have to love Me from now on." That's what this is about, a relationship of love. No more pretense. You see, Paul was forever trying to get the Christians to understand this in the early church. And the Christians were continually trying to go back under the law. And he warned them. He's like, man, just like bread, a little bit of yeast will leaven the whole lump. He says, if we let a little bit of this in, we're going to lose this. What Jesus did for us on the cross was a relationship thing. It's about love. You see, Christians today, we have so many issues and the same stuff that they were fighting against in the old era in the New Testament. We've got to be free from fighting. We've got to be free from dealing with these things in a way that doesn't really matter. It's no different than what they were dealing with in the early church. You see, I talk to people, for instance, I talk to people that think it's absolutely wrong for a pastor to preach from the pulpit a topical sermon. Now, for you guys, you're fairly used to it around here. As opposed to me getting up and reading line by line, word by word, and diving into the Greek word and the meaning of it and all of that. And we'll do that from time to time just for the fun of it, because it's fun. It is. You get to learn a lot. But as opposed to doing topical messages, and they think that it's absolutely necessary for me to do that every Sunday. And let me ask you a question. When we get to heaven, is that how God is going to divide us? Okay, all of you who sat in a topical church the last 5 years of your life, I want you over here. And those of you who went line by line, I want you over here. Okay, topical people, you're going to hell. Seriously? If it's not going to happen there, why does it have to happen here? It's not the only thing. Oh boy. Through the years, I've talked with people who absolutely believe the only songs that we should sing are from the Hymns of Glorious Praise. Y'all remember those books? There are still people that believe that. They're wonderful songs. They have great theology. When we get to heaven, is God going to say, okay, all the Hymns of Glorious Praise people over here? Those of you who sang off the wall over here? Go to hell. Is that going to happen? Then why does it happen here? Whether we danced or not. Whether we have our pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. Okay, all of you who believed that I was coming in the middle, go to hell. Really? If it's not going to be an issue there, why is it an issue here? Whether we did the ice bucket challenge in 2014. Is it going to be an issue there? Well, you didn't support ALS. No, I did not support a scam. If you did the ice bucket challenge, I don't want to know about it. All right. Whether or not we were in a church denomination, if it's not going to be there, why is it here? Come on, guys. There are only three things that are going to matter when it comes to our eternity. One, did you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and enter into a loving relationship with Him? And you can do that right here today. Secondly, did you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Did you? That's going to be the issue in heaven. And the third, did you love your neighbor as yourself? James David, would you come? Listen, it's time to remove the veil. We're not asking you to come to this church and pretend that you love. We're giving you an opportunity to truly find love in your life. We don't want you to pretend you're good. Because we know you're not. And you're the best among the best. Right? but we know you're not. Without God, no one is good. It's Him who does it in you. We're not asking you to pretend. I think those of you who've been around me enough know that I'm not going to pretend. I don't have a pastor's voice. In fact, most of the time I lose my voice by the end of the service, and I'm asking God why. I don't have it. I'm not perfect, and I'm not going to pretend. We don't want you to pretend. But here's what we do want. We don't want you to give us your worst. We want you to give us your best. We want you to love. We want you to step outside of the life that you've been in and begin to embrace a new life of true love, of true hope, of true peace. Purpose, a reason to live. What are you afraid of? Well, John, I've tried that. I've been there and tried that, and I got disappointed. Really? So you put the mask back on? Remove the veil. You need your marriage restored? This is how. This is where you start. Remove the veil. Quit pretending and love. Would you bow your heads? Maybe you're here today and you need to accept Jesus into your life. We're not going to make a spectacle of you. This is a very personal thing. You need to do it without any compulsion or being afraid. You need to talk to Him right where you are. Jesus, come into my life. I want a relationship with you. I want to love you. I want to belong to you. Thank you for your forgiving grace and mercy for me. And today I invite you to come into my heart, into my life. Make me a new creature. I'm tired of not being able to feel. I'm tired of being disappointed by the people around me. I'm tired of being angry. And God, I just need you. Come into my heart. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. And God, I will give you the rest of my life in love. In Jesus' name. And God, I will begin to live it out with the people around me. What you have done in my heart, the restoration that you've given me. I will be gracious to the people around me. I will love those that don't love me. And I won't go around pointing the finger at everybody else who's not doing what I'm doing. I will love the people that come into this church. I will accept them. I will help them and encourage them and be a blessing to them. I want to be you in this world today. In Jesus' name, amen. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to give you an opportunity. If you accepted Christ today, you need to share that with somebody right away. And you can do that with me, right where you're seated. Just look up at me until my eyes catch yours. If you accepted Christ today, you gave Him your heart in a new way, in a fresh way today. All right? Anybody else? Okay. Awesome. Awesome. And if you're on our live stream and you'd like to text me and say, John, that's what I did today, my phone number's on our website. Wow. Praise God. Awesome. We are so grateful that you chose to worship with us today. Be sure to invite somebody. This is one of the ways we show Jesus we love him, isn't it? He loves when we talk to people about him. Why? Because it's a wonderful thing for them. It's a wonderful thing, the freedom in Christ that we have. Welcome to the family of God. Would you stand?